Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call Redskins Live Post Game Edition on this Halloween day, October 31st, 2010, taking you to 5:45. We're at the Redskins' turn, and this time it doesn't involve Albert Haynesworth. Redskins fall to the Detroit Lions, 37 to 25. They go down to the bye week, 4-4, third place in the NFC East, Eastern Division. I'm going to start with the obvious. There were a lot of things that occurred in this game, especially in the fourth quarter. This game really picked up late third into the fourth quarter with the lead changes. But if you trade for a guy who, I said, you move a second round pick to get a guy, and conditional third round pick in 2011, depending on how far the Redskins go. He goes through OTAs, he goes through all the mini camps, training camp, and now we find ourselves in week 8, we're in November, basically. And you're going to tell me, if you're Mike Shanahan, you're going to tell me that the guy does not fully understand or is not fully understanding of the two-minute offense in terms of the terminology, that you have a guy on the bench who understands it better and who gives you a better chance to win in that situation where you need points in less than 2 minutes. That's a problem. And it makes no sense. And that's what, you know, Mike Shanahan said on why he pulled Donovan McNabb. McNabb, of course, had just thrown an interception, which led to a Detroit touchdown to make it 28-25. Okay. Redskins took the ball back. Redskins, after turning the ball over on downs, get the ball back after the Detroit field goal at 31-25. And McNabb is pulled out of the game for Rex Grossman. Now, you know, when this happens, you're assuming, you know, McNabb must be hurt. He took a beating, was sacked 5 times, hit about 10 or 11 times. And, I mean, you had to assume that he was hurt. And that's the first thing that came to my mind. But no, McNabb had put the baseball cap on, was walking around on the sidelines, muttering a little bit, did not look happy. It was clear and evident, it was confirmed in the press conference, Mike Shanahan's press conference, that he got pulled out. And to me, again, it's a decision to me that I will never fully understand. You know, all you heard Shanahan talk about throughout his short tenure with the Redskins up to this point is competition for this position, competition for that position. Well, listen, there cannot be competition at the quarterback position when you have one guy who's a Hall of Famer, future Hall of Famer, versus another guy who is, you know, a journeyman, has turned into a journeyman quarterback. And that's what Rex Grossman is at this point in his career, is a journeyman quarterback. He'll never be a starting quarterback in the NFL unless somebody gets hurt ever for the rest of his career. He will never be a starting quarterback, a consistent starting quarterback in the NFL, period. And you can't tell me that he knows how to operate your two-minute offense better than the guy who you spent a second-round draft pick for. Because then that makes you as a head coach look incompetent. As a guy who's not only the head coach, but also a guy who's basically running the show from an organizational standpoint in terms of personnel. And again, I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen a quarterback in my 25 years of watching football get pulled out of a game on the final drive of the game, on the final drive without any type of injury occurring. I've never seen it ever. So now, what have you done with your Mike Shanahan? You've created. You know, you've just gotten over the whole Albert Haynesworth thing. That seems to have kind of, you know, ran his, that season kind of like calmed himself down. Haysbrook was playing well, had a great game today. So he's gotten past that storm. That seems to be over with for now, for this season. Maybe the offseason will be a different story. So now you've created another storm, and where for the next 2 weeks, you're going to be answering questions about your quarterback. Now, I know after the end, again, after the game, he says, well, you know, he is our starting quarterback. Okay. But again, but in 2 weeks, if you're down, if you're playing the Eagles, and it's, you know, typical close Redskin game, you're down 24-20 with 2 minutes left, you got the ball, are you pulling Donovan McNabb again for Rex Grossman? I mean, you can't sit up here and tell me that Donovan McNabb is not fully grasping the terminology compared to, in comparison to Rex Grossman. I mean, you can't, at this point in the year, you can't tell me that. And that's the reason why you pulled him. Yeah, it just makes no sense. It makes zero sense. The bigger issue for the Redskins, even bigger than this one, and this one is pretty big, is the offensive line. The Redskins offensive line, again, was kicked all over the place. Now, Detroit has a very good defensive front. I mean, Ndamukong Suh, who had a couple sacks, had the touchdown, which, you know, sealed the game, wrapped the game up for Detroit off the fumble recovery, is going to be one of the most dominant players in the NFL defensively. He's that good. He's going to be a defensive rookie of the year. Corey Williams, Van Der Bosch are all very good. They have a very good front four, probably the strength of their team. But it's not that good. It's not, you know, we're not talking about the purple people eaters here, okay? You know, this is not the steel curtain. I mean, McNabb was getting killed. McNabb was getting killed throughout the course of the game. I think he was sacked 5 times, hit a number of other times. As soon as Rex Grossman comes into the game, he gets his head knocked off, and the Detroit gets the fumble recovery for a touchdown by Sue. And again, you look at this offensive line, you know, you have a situation where they're rotating Jamal Brown instead of Stephon Heyer. Earlier in the season, you were rotating Derek Dockery and Corey Lichtensteiger, who's by the way, has been destroyed since he came in as a full-time starter. Lichtensteiger's been getting lit up. Got lit up in the Green Bay game, got destroyed in this game. I mean, you can't, that's the one position that you cannot rotate. You can't rotate men in and out on in terms of offensive line. You can't develop any continuity, any chemistry. If on one play, one guy's in, on the next play you have another guy in, it's not going to work. You can get away with that with your nickel cornerbacks. You can get away with that linebackers, defensive line. You can't rotate offensive linemen. I don't see how with. Again, I don't see what the logic is behind this. I don't see how it's going to work out for the benefit of your offense of your football team. And again, it's something that I've never. Again, all the years I've been watching football, and there have been people out there who've been watching longer than me. I've never seen offensive linemen get rotated in and out. Either one guy is better than the other. Either you feel like Jamal Brown is the guy, or you don't. You brought, similar to McNabb, Shanahan brought Jamal Brown in to play right tackle. Excuse me, to play left tackle. You brought Jamal Brown in. He didn't have Jamal Brown. He brought him in. You know, either it's Jamal Brown or Stephon Heyer. Yeah, you got to make a choice at some point. This is week 8. So the Redskins, again, failed to take advantage of a winnable game to go to 5-3 going into the bye week. Now the bye comes at a perfect time for the Redskins as they have a lot of issues, especially offensively, to sort out. They again fall 37-25. They go to 4-4 in the season. Detroit improves to 2-5. Still to come on this latest edition of the Redskins Live post-game edition. Cyril Quinn taking you to 5:45. We'll go through the Redskins scoring drives, and we will also have the turning point of the game. We will be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition of Redskins Live post-game edition. The Redskins fall to the Lions for the second straight year, 37-25. They are now 4-4 on the season as they head into the bye week before they take on the Philadelphia Eagles on Monday Night Football come November 15th. Redskins, we're going to go through the Redskins scoring drives now. Redskins didn't score until the second quarter after a dreadful first quarter where they had basically three and outs, just one first down in their first four possessions. And they came out the second quarter, got something going with a three-play, 42-yard drive, which was capped off by a Ryan Tulane touchdown reception from Donovan McNabb for six yards. The play was all set up by Donovan McNabb, 36-yard run, which helped set it up. And Brandon Banks had a nice return to give Redskins good field position again. Redskins good field position on that particular drive. Redskins would tie the game up at 7-7. Right before halftime, Redskins kick a field goal for 38 yards from Graham Gano to go up 10-7 on a three-play. 21-yard drive. The first drive for the Redskins was 8 plays, 69 yards. This 38-yard field goal came on an 8 play 69 yard drive, in which Graham Gano would kick a 38-yard field goal. Redskins would go up 10-7. Redskins would finish out with cap off the half with a 46-yard field goal by Graham Gano on a three-play, 21-yard drive, which was set up by a Brandon Banks, an excellent Brandon Banks punt return. Brandon Banks had a big day as far as kickoff and punt returns. 46-yard field goal by Graham Gano. Redskins really stole points at the end of the half and went in up 13-7. After Detroit scored, the Redskins to go up 14-13. And regain the lead at 19-14. A 5-yard Keelan Williams touchdown run. And here's where the Redskins started getting a little bit sloppy, as far as you want to question some of the decisions made by Shanahan. At 19-14, you go for a two point conversion. Now again, mind you, this is the beginning of the fourth quarter. Plenty of time left. There's well over 11 or 12 minutes left. Kick the extra point and go up 20-14. At 19-14, two field goals beat you if you don't score anymore. But instead, they decided to go for the two point conversion. They fail on it. They're only up 19-14. Detroit would take the lead and to go up 20-19. They failed on that two-point conversion. Then you had Brandon Banks, who would get the last Redskins score with a 96-yard kickoff return and put the Redskins up 25-20. At that point, the Redskins were forced to go for the two-point conversion because they were chasing points. It failed, and the Redskins were up at that point 25-20 in the fourth quarter, and that would be the last time the Redskins would score, and also the last time the Redskins would hold the lead before Detroit went on to end the game scoring 17 unanswered points. Still to come, we will go through the Redskins. Uh, we will go we will go with the turning point of the game, and we also have stat leaders and offensive and defensive MVPs that are still to come on this latest edition of Redskins Live Post Game Edition. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn, taking you to 5:45. You can hit me up at facebook.com/CyrilQuinn or twitter.com/WilliamGerald for any comments or questions. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Redskins Live Post Game Edition, 16 minutes after the 5 o'clock hour. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn. Redskins fall to the Detroit Lions, 37-25. Redskins are now 4-4 on the season. Detroit improves to 2-5 on the season. The turning point of the game, to me, came, and there were a lot of things that happened over the course of this game, especially in the second half. To me, the turning point came at 25-20. Don McNabb gets picked off in a ball that he had absolutely no business throwing. At that point, the Redskins had a 25-20 lead, and it was really about four and a half to five minutes left. So at that point, Redskins are trying to chew up clock. At worst, the Redskins should have put themselves in a position, get a couple first downs, even if they don't score, be up 25-20 and force Detroit to go the length of the field to score a touchdown and to take the lead. Even if Detroit is able to do that, maybe and get a two-point conversion, maybe you're down 28-25 or 27-25 with maybe a couple minutes left and a couple timeouts. So that really, to me, turned momentum into Detroit's favor. After that interception, Detroit outscored the Redskins 17-0 and took total control of the game. That was a big play again, a pass that McNabb had no business throwing. He thought he could squeeze it in through a tight window. Window was too tight to squeeze that ball into. And it was, of course, picked off. Detroit got the took advantage of the short field and went on and converted a 4th-and-1 with a Matthew Stafford to Calvin Johnson touchdown, which was the third time on the day that those two had hooked up. And again, that would be the last time that would be Detroit would take the lead on that possession at 28-25, and Detroit would not look back as they just took total control of the game. So that is your turning point. That is definitely the turning point of the game. I also thought that there was a play where the Redskins basically gift wrapped a touchdown that took place in the third quarter. Again, Redskins were up 13-7. Detroit, they just stopped Detroit on a big play by Albert Haynesworth as he blew up a 3rd-and-1. Detroit chooses to kick the field goal. Phillip Daniels gets an encroachment penalty, which is automatic first down based on the fact that it was 4th-and-1. Instead of it being 13-10, that's assuming Hanson makes the field goal, which was basically like an extra point anyway. And Detroit gets a touchdown and goes up 14-13. I thought that was big as well. Just again, the Redskins just giving away momentum that they would have had by just holding them to 3 points and getting a stop by Haynesworth. And basically just gift wrapping on a touchdown. I mean, at that point on the field, I don't care how good your defense is, you're hard pressed to keep a team out of the end zone down there inside the 10-yard line. But the McNabb interception definitely was trumped that and was the turning point of this game. Still to come, come on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. We will go into, we'll have offensive and defensive MVPs, and we'll also look at some stats, Redskin leaders, statistical leaders as well. So we'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call, Redskins Live Post Game Edition. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition of Redskins Live, post-game edition that I'll take you to 5:45. We're going to go through offensive and defensive MVPs and also go through some stats here. And I know he's not technically an offensive player from the standpoint, I know it's technically a special team, but Brandon Banks, I wasn't good to Anthony Armstrong because he had a good day as well, 3 catches, 92 yards, had a big 50-yard catch. But Brandon Banks was the best player on the field for the Redskins. He goes over 270 yards of return yardage, had a touchdown, a kickoff return, 96-yard kickoff return, which would be the last score for the Redskins. Had a 95-yard return called back, which was huge for the Redskins on a block in the back. Now that it turns out, when you look at it, that turned out to be big on it being called back. He was the best Redskin on the field, and even though it is technically special teams, he gets my offensive MVP for the game. Defensive MVP, another good day out of Ron Landry. Aracco was really quiet. Albert Haynesworth was clearly the Redskins' best defender. Haynesworth had a couple of third and ones, short yardage plays that he blew up. He had a sack. He was very active and seems to, week in, week out, as the season is going along, seems to be improving by the game. If he's on the same page with Hazlitt and Shanahan, it can make the Redskins defense the Redskins can be dominant defensively, once he's able to even play more, once he's able to even play, get some more plays and get to, hopefully he gets to a point where he can be, an every down player. That'll be, I would think, the goal for the next couple of weeks in terms of getting his condition back to a point where he can come in and play every down. But right now, he's playing extremely well. Again, he blew up a couple of third and one plays, had the sack, and was the best defensive player on the field for the Washington Redskins. Look at the Redskins statistical leaders on the day. Don McNabb, 17 of 30, 210 yards, a touchdown, interception, 4 rushes for 45 yards, had 1 rush for 36 yards that led, that helped set up a touchdown, helped set up the Redskins' first touchdown. Again, I can't kill McNabb today based on how he played. I thought he was average, considering, he didn't have the bad interception, and that was a bad, he almost had one that could have been returned by Alphonso Smith. Smith later would get him. With the fourth quarter interception, but when you're getting taking the kind of punishment that he took, 5 sacks is and no running game to boot. It's really hard to really get on McNabb. Again, I thought he had an okay game, made the one big mistake, but certainly should not have been benched for it. So he was sitting at 17-30, 210, a touchdown, interception, one touchdown, one interception. One trend that you don't like is, in the games with McNabb, putting the Houston game aside, I thought he was great throughout. In the games that McNabb has struggled in, he's There have been too many times this season where he's gotten off to a good start, had a pretty good first half, and then struggled in the second half. And that, you know, that trend, that is disturbing if you're a Redskins fan on why, you know, what is it about the second half? Why can't he, you know, get it going in the second half? Because he's had some good first half, some good first quarters, but then comes the third, fourth quarter, he's really struggling coming in about 3 or 4 of his games. So that's one thing to I'm sure the Redskins will be looking into over the course of the next couple of weeks as they head into the bye week. Redskins basically have no running game, 80 yards. Now, they lost Monta Rain to a hamstring injury in the second half early, I believe. I went late third quarter, early fourth quarter. Kieran Williams came in, had some decent runs, had a touchdown run, struggled with a blitz pickup, as you would expect, not in that many reps. Redskins for the game had 80 yards rushing. Again, 45 of those were by Donovan McNabb. And one of them, one of those runs was a 36-yard run. So basically, more than a third of the Redskins rushing came on one run. Again, offensive line gave up 7 sacks. Was awful throughout. Redskins 2 for 14 on third down conversions. Total yardage for the Redskins, 275 yards. How many times are the Redskins going to be under 300 yards under 300 yards in terms of total offense for yardage? So, again, with the Redskins, you know, offensively is where they are struggling. I mean, there's no two ways about it. I know you would have liked to see the defense be able to hold Detroit on a couple of those drives, you know, down the stretch. But consider this, you know, defense forces 2 turnovers. They, the Detroit drives that they had, all the Detroit scoring drives were the result of Detroit starting off with great field position. All of them. Not once did Detroit go down the field 70, 80 yards and score a touchdown, a score period. All the drives began either midfield or in Redskins territories, all the scoring drives, including their last scoring drive, their last offensive scoring drive, in where they took the lead, began at basically at the Redskins, you know, 40-yard line, 40-yard line off the Donovan McNabb interception. So you put your defense in that type of position, and it's going to be hard to stop NFL offenses. I mean, that's all there is to it. I mean, you can't create short yardage situations, short field situations to your defense. And the Redskins, offensively and special teams-wise, with their kickoff and punt return coverage, did that too many times over the course of this game, and it really came back to bite the Redskins, especially in that fourth quarter. We're going to look ahead towards the second half and look back at the first half of the season as the Redskins head into a bye week 4-4 4-4 on the season. They fall to the Detroit Lions 37-25. We will be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Redskins Live post-game edition. Redskins fall 37-25 to the Detroit Lions. They are 4-4 on the season. They will head into a bye week, which right now looks, you know, like a godsend, basically. It couldn't come at a better time, considering, you know, the state of their offense right now and the state of their offensive line and play calling and things like that in general. You know, the Redskins are 4-4, and, you know, you look at the teams they've beaten. You know, they take Houston overtime, should have won the game, beat Philadelphia at Philly, beat Green Bay, beat Chicago at Chicago, lose a tough game in Indianapolis, close game, lose to St. Louis, lose to Detroit. You know, this is what the Redskins. These are what the Redskins are. Beat Dallas in the first game. These are what the Redskins are. Again, I don't think they quite. I think this team is a 500 football team. They're a team that's going to be in most of their games with a chance to win. The exception of the St. Louis game has been in every game. Every game has been close. This game got away late, but for the most part, this was a one possession game for the roughly 58 minutes before Detroit got the late touchdown on the fumble recovery off the hit off Grossman. I mean, these are what the Redskins are, and you know, you thought, even regardless of what happened today, that the Redskins would be in pretty good shape as far as, you know, the direction that they were headed in. Improved as far as being prepared, scheme, you know, competency. We talk about competency is in terms of the coaching. You thought the Redskins were in good shape. But right now, based on what transpired in that last roughly, you know, 2 minutes of the game, I don't know right now about the Redskins, about what the direction. And I'm not even talking about this year as far as trying to make the playoffs and what have you. I'm just talking about even within the next 2 or 3 years. You know, it seems to me that Mike Shanahan just has some issues in terms of how he's handling his players, and his own ego is getting in the way of the team winning. You know, the Albert Haynesworth situation, again, that to me was 99% Albert Haynesworth. But against Indianapolis, a team that Haynesworth had played against for 7 years, twice a year, and he wanted to play coming off his half-brother's funeral and was, you know, physically capable of playing and certainly would have helped the Redskins. Shanahan determined that, you know, he's not one of their best 45 guys for that particular week, or 53 guys for that particular week. For that particular week, which made no sense. So he sits him down. Redskins get ran over by Indianapolis, who had, you know, no running game coming into that game. And now you have a situation with Donovan McNabb, the difference with the Haynesworth, he inherited Haynesworth. If Mike Shanahan would have been here in 2008, 2007, Haynesworth would never be on this team. Because there's no way they would have gave him that amount of money for a guy who, you know, had issues coming in from the Tennessee Titans. But you did not have Donovan McNabb. You trade for Donovan McNabb. I thought it was a gift by the Philadelphia Eagles to trade, to give you a franchise Hall of Fame caliber quarterback. And now you're saying that, you know, Donovan McNabb is not picking up the terminology the way, you know, probably the way that as fast as you would want him to. Because that's what you're saying. I mean, Shanahan did not come out and say that, but in essence, you know, week 8, training camps, OTAs, all the stuff that you're going through, you're basically saying that we're not happy with, you know, him picking up our two-minute situation terminology. And we feel like Grossman is better at that right now than McNabb. And to me, and the reporter, and I forgot, I don't know who it was, but the reporter asked Shanahan, did he feel like the team took a step back with the performances, but what happened transpired. Shanahan, you know, kind of brushed it off, didn't take too kindly to it. But I'll answer that reporter said, yes, they did take a step back. I mean, they did take a step back. They did not, you know, you cannot be happy with how the, you cannot be happy if you're the Washington Redskins with how you enter the bye week. And they're not even talking about your record. Your record should be, you play the tough schedule, your record should be about where it is, to be honest with you. The big games where you could have won, the big games that you, where you could have lost. I'm just talking about offensively on where you were at last year, beginning of the season, compared to where you're at now. We've seen the steady improvement defensively. We know that the defense is going to force turnovers, give up big plays, but for the most part, defense is going to keep you in more games than not. We understand that. We know that. But offensively, to me, there's been little to no progress whatsoever. And Mike Shanahan is supposed to be the guy who is, you know, one of the great play callers in a, considered by many to be the best play caller in football, or one of, certainly up there. You know, Kyle Green, you know, having his son Kyle Shanahan, you know, offensive coordinator with Houston last year. Houston had that big time offense. But there's been no improvement from week one to now. From with the Redskins offense, you know, and some of that can be attributed to, you know, a lack of personnel at the skill positions, you know, new offense, but a lot of that has to be attributed to the Redskins just being themselves, as far as, again, not knowing what they are and what they want to be offensively, not being settled in on five offensive linemen, not knowing whether or not they want to be a running team or a passing team. And as of right now, not being settled in on a quarterback. You know, that's a question that has to be asked. Who is the quarterback of the Washington Redskins? You know, I know who should be the quarterback. So the Redskins, again, go into the second half with a lot of questions and about 99% of them are on offense. And you look at the schedule coming off the bye, it will get no easier from November 15th through to the end of the season, which will end on January 2nd. They go Monday night at home against Philadelphia, which now all of a sudden has become even a bigger game. Michael Vick, you assume, will be back to that game. So, yeah, Philadelphia Monday night, then at Tennessee, home to Minnesota, at New York, home to Tampa Bay, at Dallas, at Jacksonville, home to the Giants. So, looking at that, two games against the Giants, good team, good pass rush. A game against Minnesota, good defensive line. Tennessee, great pass rush. Dallas still has DeMarcus Ware, and you have to go to Dallas. And to me, the formula for the Redskins to make the playoffs, as I look at those remaining eight games, one, you have to beat Dallas, Jacksonville, and Tampa Bay. You have to beat those teams. Yeah, I mean, those are teams you have to beat. Which puts you at 7 wins. And you have to find a way to go, two and three against Philly, Tennessee, Minnesota, the Giants, and the Giants twice. That's the formula. And hope that 9-7 gets you in the playoffs, which I think it might in the AFC, to be honest with you. So, you know, I don't know which combination, whether it be, you know, splitting against the Giants, you know, beating Tennessee, whatever combination you want to think of, you figure that, to me, that is the recipe for the Redskins to make the playoffs. You have to beat Tampa Bay, beat Dallas, beat Jacksonville, and find a way to go 2-3 against the Giants twice, Minnesota, Tennessee, and Philadelphia. Yeah, the good news for the Redskins is they will have Philadelphia, Minnesota, and the Giants. Three of those five games will be at home. They'll have to go to Tennessee and go to New York. So that would be the good news for them. But again, it's really not looking good for them to make the playoffs going into this bye week. With not so much even a record, but with just all the questions now that are going to be swirling around Don McNabb, Mike Shanahan, offensive line in shambles right now, no running game. Hopefully, Clint Portis can come back in a couple of weeks. But even when Tulane has been running well, you know, for the past couple of weeks. So, again, we're going to see, you know, earlier in the season, Redskins had a mini-crisis situation at 1-2. You know, they opened the season by beating Dallas, lose to Houston, lose a terrible game to St. Louis. Then they run off back-to-back victories versus Philadelphia and Green Bay to go to 3-2. After that, they kind of been, you know, 2-1 with Green Bay and after Chicago, go 2-1 in that stretch. Now they're back to me. They're in a mini-crisis moment right now. Even at 4-4, heading into a bye week and having to play Philadelphia come November 15th. We'll see what the team is. We're gonna see what Mike Shanahan can do offensively. Again, you have two weeks to kind of sort out some of these problems that they have on the offensive line. What the issues that he has with Dominic McNabb. In terms of two minute terminology and all that and that nonsense, and we'll see what this team does against the likes of the Philadelphia Eagles, Tennessee Titans, Minnesota Vikings. That's their month of November, which is not be easy. December is not bad. I mean, at the Giants, Tampa Bay, Dallas, and Jacksonville. November will decide whether or not the Redskins will be a playoff team. Thanks for tuning in. Again, we'll be back, and we're gonna have a couple of weeks off here because next week the Redskins have a bye. I'll be going around the league on November 8th. 15th they have the Monday night game, so we'll be doing a post game for that. So we'll be back November 21st, coming off. The Redskins coming off the playing against the Tennessee Titans. I'll see you then. So long. Have a great evening.